Buenos días, my name is Luisana. The scripture today is from Romans chapter 1, verses 11 through 17. Tengo muchos deseos de verlos para impartirles algún don espiritual que los fortalezca. Mejor dicho, para que unos a otros nos animemos con la fe que compartimos. Quiero que sepan, hermanos, que aunque hasta ahora no he podido visitarlos, muchas veces me he propuesto hacerlo, para recoger algún fruto entre ustedes, tal como lo he recogido entre las otras naciones. Estoy en deuda con todos, sean cultos o incultos, instruidos o ignorantes. De allí mi gran anhelo de predicarles el Evangelio también a ustedes que están en Roma. A la verdad no me avergüenzo del Evangelio, pues es poder de Dios para la salvación de todos los que creen, de los judíos primeramente, pero también de los gentiles. De hecho, en el Evangelio se revela la justicia que proviene de Dios, la cual es por fe de principio a fin, tal como está escrito. El justo vivirá por la fe. Thanks to be God for the gift of the scripture.
I wonder if you join me for a word of prayer. Dear God, I pray that you'll bless the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts. Whenever this sermon is shared, whenever this sermon is seen, I pray that it would be a blessing to the people who watch it. And this I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, last week we encouraged you to join a life group. And there is a tab on the website that you can just click when the sermon's over or the service is over. Just feel free to take a minute. If you haven't signed up for a life group, today is your day. And I just think you're going to find that to be really, really helpful in the growth of your life in Christ. I want to talk about today some good news. We had a golf tournament this past week for Helping Children Worldwide. It supports the work of the Child Rescue Center and Mercy Hospital. And it was, you know, obviously it was outside, and it was just a great, great, beautiful day. And before it all started, I was standing up on this balcony area, and I was observing all of the people that were getting ready to golf. And I just thought to myself, why is it that people come to this? I mean, it was just really, really well organized. Doug Barbie, Tom Hazelhorst are two of the volunteers here at Floris who've organized this year after year. They've got a great team of volunteers. They've got great staff at Helping Children Worldwide. So it's a great golf tournament, but that's not why those people were golfing at that tournament. They can go golf anywhere, anytime. So what is it about that event? And I think the answer is, it's good news. And when you've got something that's good news, you'll tell your neighbor, you'll tell your friend, you'll tell your family member, and you'll invite them to come and be a part of it because people need good news. And I think people uniquely need good news right now. There's something about being a part of something that's transformational, exciting. And so when people tell stories about Mercy Hospital and the good it does, when they talk about the Child Rescue Center, I mean, the day of the tournament, Abdullah Sware and Mohammed Nabiyu spoke to the golfers very briefly, and it was a very simple message. Each of them said, you know, for years this tournament was held when we were children. And one of them said, you know, I grew up in the Child Rescue Center and I always heard about the golf tournament, but I never knew how it raised money. And now here I am today, I'm seeing you. You're the people that did that for me. And these two young men, you know, Muhammad now works for Helping Children Worldwide. Abdullah just got a master's degree in IT. He's looking for a job right now. And, you know, it's exciting to see somebody's life change. Good news is what brings people together. By the way, the tournament made $80,000 this year, more than $80,000. In the lifetime of that tournament, it's made more than $1 million. So I think the compounding effect of realizing that my good is joining somebody else's good, and over time it's doing great good, it's just another piece of the good news. Well, I think anytime we have good news about changed lives, it makes a giant difference. Now, a lot of people today are feeling disconnected, and we want you to feel connected. We want not just you to feel connected, but we want the people around us to feel connected. So everyone in the church received a carabiner, just like this, a small one. It's not real, so don't go rock climbing with this, but it's real enough to hold your keys or to be used for some other purpose. But on it, you'll notice that it says connected. It's got the DIS crossed out because we're trying to help people make that transition. Last week, we talked about being connected through life groups. And again, I want to encourage you to sign up for one of those today if you haven't done so. But I also want to think about how you can help connect friends of yours, neighbors of yours, coworkers, to your faith in Christ. Because that's another connecting point. And oftentimes, it's the one that we avoid talking about. I don't know about you, but I love sharing a good story that resonates. And the story of our faith in Christ has been called the good news for centuries. It's what the Gospels are called, the good news according to Luke, the good news according to John. And it's a story about the life that we are on with God. Too often, we disconnect our Christian faith from our friendships, especially if we're not sure if those people know Christ or we know they're not believers. And you know what? It just occurred to me. You know what we do? We quarantine Jesus. So we say we've got Jesus in our life, but when it comes to really talking about that with a next door neighbor or somebody else, we put Jesus over here in quarantine and we keep Jesus at a distance from these neighbors. And we do that for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes we do it because we're afraid that we're going to be rejected. We're afraid that if we begin a conversation about our faith, and I've had this happen. I had a person one time say, hey, don't get into that religion stuff. I know you're a pastor, but don't get into that religion stuff with me. Well, I wasn't going to get into religion stuff with them. I was just going to tell them about Jesus. And it does hurt a little bit. It feels a little bit like a rejection. But I've just decided I'm okay with that. You know, I don't melt if somebody rejects my thoughts or my words. Now, if they say don't do something, I'm not going to do it anymore, but I can take the risk. I don't have to quarantine Jesus and keep them separate. And you know what I think right now? I think a lot of people have ears that can hear right now because of this pandemic. I think there's a lot of anxiety out there. I think there's a lot of people concerned about their children and their child's education. I think there are a lot of people that are feeling tired. Experts that work with disasters call the stage we're in right now with this pandemic, they call it the disillusionment stage. Because anything that was even remotely interesting or fun about it is sort of done, is over. And now we're just realizing, wow, this is going to be for a long time. How long is sort of the question. Well, in that time, I think people might have ears to hear us talk about Jesus and our faith in Christ and our love of God in ways they might not have had 10 months ago. So I want you to think about whether your faith might actually be somebody else's lifeline right now, the lifeline that runs through a device like this, and it's what helps them hold on, and it's what helps them feel connected. That's the opportunity that you and I may have, but we can't have it if we're just afraid to ever talk about it. Now, the Apostle Paul was a guy who talked a lot about his faith. He wrote a large portion of the New Testament. He was just a remarkable person, and he thought that faith in Christ was good news because he had had his own transformation. There was a time where the Apostle Paul persecuted Christians. You wouldn't share your faith with him then because he would have hurt you. But he had this experience where Christ spoke to him, and then Christ transformed his life and really turned him upside down in a lot of different ways. And he felt a connection to God through Christ that he had never found when he was just a religious person in the past. And that story of his transformation and the story of his change was the story that he shared with others. In fact, when Paul starts his letter to the Romans, the letter from which you heard read this morning, he writes this. He says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. There's that word gospel, good news. That word good news, Paul believed that our relationship with Christ was first, it was something to be shared. That's what good news is, right? It's something to be shared. If somebody has a baby, what do? They tell everybody, right? If somebody has a grandchild, they tell everybody. That's what I've noticed. So it's something exciting about good news that you want to share it. Well, I think our faith in Christ is good news. And something is either good news or it is not. There's not much in between there. And so you have to decide, it's the ancient term for it, evangelion. It's this Greek word that I want you to look at. Notice as you look at that Greek word, the word angel is embedded in it. Now that's because the angels were the messengers. So this Greek word, which is translated good news, means a message of goodness. The EU is about goodness. The angel part is about message or messenger. That's what it is when we talk about our faith in Christ. You become sort of an angel for somebody because that's what they did. They talked about God. In the opening seven verses of Romans that we heard today, there are three ideas that are present there. Paul talks about how, actually the opening seven verses are not what you heard today, but if you would read, go and read the opening seven verses of the letter to the Romans, and this is what you're going to find. Paul says three things, and this sort of sets us up for what we're going to hear today. He says the gospel was promised from a long time ago. Prophets in the Old Testament talked about the Messiah that God would send, and God would send. God would send this Messiah, and this Messiah would change everything. Number two, the gospel is centered in Christ. When you read the gospel, it's really all about the way Jesus came and taught us how to live. That's what his teaching is about. He also taught us that miracles are possible, and sometimes we are those miracles. Sometimes the change in our lives is the miracle. And that's a part of what he teaches. But he also teaches us that we can be reconnected and redeemed to God. We may have lost our connection to God. We may have never known we were connected to God. And that message can be life-changing. And he also tells us we can have new life in Christ. We can have the assurance of eternal life after we die because we know and trust Jesus and we have a relationship with him, and that never goes away. We carry it with us into eternal life. Death doesn't limit it. But also means that if your life has been one that's full of regrets, if you've got a life where you've hurt people, you've hurt your family, you've hurt others, here's the good news. Jesus is going to give you a new life. And you don't have to carry the burden of all those regrets. You don't have to carry the burden of all the stuff that you did wrong or went wrong. He gives us new life. That's the good news, because we have forgiveness. And then the third aspect is the gospel is enough for all people. It doesn't matter where you go, what culture you're with, what people group you're talking to. The gospel resonates because the gospel is uniquely a story about God's love in everyone's life. In verses 11 through 17, and now I'm catching up, Paul talks about why we should share this good news. And I just love the way that he says it. He says in verse 11, I'm longing to see you so that I may share with you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. I mean, that sounds very him-oriented, right? But then he turns it around. He says, or rather, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. So he moves from saying, hey, I can't wait to tell you what it is, to this moment where he says, I can't wait to sit down and share this with you, because I'll be encouraged by your faith and you'll be encouraged by my faith. You know, friends, it's been my experience that when you talk to another person who shares the Christian faith and you begin to talk about what God's doing in your life, or how it is with your soul, and you have an open conversation that's honest, there's a sacredness about it. And the only word I know to describe it is it's deeper. It's deeper than almost any other conversation you can have with another human being. When you meet with somebody who may die soon, and rather than avoiding the topic, you know how we avoid things that we think are hard. If instead you just look at it and you say, hey, I know that you may die soon, tell me, what's that like? You know, and then later you say, how can I help you right now? What can I do that might be of help to you? They know you don't have a magic wand, but don't you want to know the thing they want to know? And often that space, whether someone's sick or whether someone's worried about their child, as I said, there are a lot of parents really struggling right now. That becomes a sacred space where often we talk about our faith. So whether we're with a Christian who is in your, and we set it up from the beginning, or whether the conversation meanders into the space, it's deeper. Now, some people say to me, Tom, I just can't go there. That's the term I hear a lot. You know, I can't go there. I can't talk about Jesus. Again, it's that quarantine, keep Jesus quarantined over there, 6 feet. I can't go there is sort of a way of saying, I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to risk anything. Well, you and I both know the only relationships that matter to you are the ones where you've taken risk. They're the ones where you've been willing to be vulnerable. You've been willing to say something that was hard to say because you didn't like how it reflected on you, or it made you feel insecure because you didn't know how they were going to react. Friends, when you go there with people, you'll find a deeper space of relationship and intimacy and a deeper space of joy, because you're going to start connecting to people at a deeper level. And that's what Paul was saying, so that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, yours and mine. Now, I want to encourage you to go there not only with people that are believers, but with people who aren't. And you may say, well, Tom, how could I ever do that? I'm not a pastor. I'm not this. I mean, people tell me that a lot. If you think that people line up when they see me coming so that they can talk about faith, you would be absolutely wrong. In fact, sometimes they are running in the other direction because they have stereotypes about me based on the word pastor. You know, I may have told you this before, but my next door neighbor that moved years ago, right before he moved, the day before he moved, he walked across the driveway. We live on a pipe stem. And he said, I said, hey, I'm really going to miss you. I said, we've just so enjoyed this. And he said, can I tell you something? I said, yeah. He goes, it has not been bad living near the holy man. And I started laughing. I said, what? He said, it's not been bad living near the holy man. I said, what are you saying? He said, here's the truth. When we moved in here, I don't know if it was 10 years ago, how long it was, and I heard you were a pastor, I thought, I cannot believe I'm going to be living near a pastor. My worst nightmare. But he said, you know what we've discovered all the years is you and Karen, you care about us. You care about our kids. You're fun to be with. He said, you've gotten us to do some things that we've never done, care about some people we've never really would have cared about probably. And he said, it's been great. Well, I think that's how people feel about you. You know, I think that when you're open, when you're honest, and, you know, look for opportunities to go there. And so, for example, I talked about the parent who's worried about their child right now with education. Why not do this? Why not say, hey, would you mind if I wrote down the name of your child? Could I pray for your child this week to have a successful week at school and to have a joyful week at school? Could I do that for you? Now, friends, is anybody going to tell you no to that? Now, notice what you didn't do. You didn't say, and I need to tell you three spiritual truths. I need to, you know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a compassionate, caring thing that is a faith thing that brings Jesus into the conversation. And then really do it. By the way, if you don't really do it, it doesn't matter. Don't. If you're not going to really do it, then don't do it. But when you write down the name and you pray for it every day, and then on Friday, you call them and say, hey, I've been praying for your child all week. How's it going? Oh, my goodness. Suddenly, they might be willing to go there with you about other things that are important to them. Why? Because they know you care. And the good news always starts with a caring heart and a loving act. But when we are then willing to articulate our faith, well, then that becomes really, really important. I've had conversations about my faith with total strangers. People, you know, in a car with a Lyft driver, you know, other spaces where you interact with people. And I can't tell you that any of them ever accepted Jesus. And I can't tell you that any of them are going to church today. I hope they are. I only know this. My responsibility was to share my faith when I was prompted by Christ to do so. And I usually did it in the way that I just suggested to you. And sometimes people would say, hey, you're a pastor. What do you think about? And then, but they might say to you, hey, you're a Christian. What do you think about? See, I think starting with the term, I'm a Christian, and here's what I believe, is really important. Now, people have a lot of stereotypes about Christians, and often the negative ones are well-deserved because some Christians are different from others. Tell them about the type of Christian you are. Tell them about things you believe. And I bet that'll be attractive. Paul said it this way. He said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of it. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first, also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God. Righteousness, by the way, means right living, the right way of living. The good life is another way to say this. The good life of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. Paul has this longing to bring people the good news because he knows that when people know Jesus, they'll feel connected. They'll feel connected to God. They'll feel connected to other people around them. He knows their life will get better. Let me ask you something. Do you know anybody who has a life right now that's like, this is the best life ever? Do you? Well, if the answer is, I only know one or two people like that, or I don't know anybody like that, everything else is your opportunity. I think people might be more willing to hear you share your faith than in any time in my lifetime, right now. So are you going to keep Jesus in quarantine and miss that opportunity? Or are you going to be willing to take the risk to go there and maybe give somebody a lifeline that they can connect to that might give them hope, that might give them a space of a practice? Like maybe you'll help people learn how to pray or read the Bible, but a practice that'll help them feel more connected. Well, if you want to do that, I've got three suggestions. Here they are. Number one, here's an easy way. If you hear us say something in a sermon or if you hear a song during worship, share it, like it, or send it to somebody with a link, right? So use your social media, share it, like it, or comment on it. Now, if you send it to them in an email and, you know, it's like an hour-long worship service and there's a song you want them to hear or a piece of a sermon, tell them about where it is so they can fast forward to it, because the average person who's not a believer is not going to sit through 60 minutes to get to the 2 minutes you were telling them about. So tell them where it is. That's a kindness you can do. And it may be that if they get that sample, then they'll go back. But better that than to send them a link that they'll never use. Second thing, keep your shares on social media clean. Friends, right now, there's just always on social media, there's always a lot of volatility, a lot of cranked up emotion. And it's an election year, so it's worse. And there's a lot at stake, so it's worse. And I understand all that. Many of us are very quick to share our political or social opinions, followed by, if you don't like me, you can defriend me. I mean, people do that. Well, there is a big difference between calmly and professionally sharing your view on an important issue, which you must do sometimes. Right? Sometimes you can't be silent. And doing it in a way that is unkind or hostile and then calling it prophetic speech. So Bob Goff, who's an author, has said, nobody's ever been argued into a change of heart. Nobody's ever been argued into a change of heart. And I just think it's true. I think people can respect you and me if we share something important to us in a calm fashion on social media. But when we're just bantering, or worse yet, when we're just outright insulting, like, it's just better not to comment. Why? Because if you then say, look at my worship service or look at what our church is doing, ugliness discredits the whole message of the gospel. Third thing, get comfortable with your story. Try to discern clearly and succinctly how Christ has changed your life and then write it out. Write it down or rehearse it in the silent spaces of your life. You know, you may be in a car. Just rehearse. If somebody said to you, why do you read the Bible? Rehearse the answer. Rehearse what you've gotten from it. And look, it's not like you're going to get the perfect answer. Nobody's interested in the perfect answer. People are interested in your answer. If you feel calm after you pray, articulate why. If you really do feel the presence of Christ in worship or in a sermon, talk about why, because that's what people want to know. And through those types of things, you will share the good news. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, said Paul. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And that's good news for everybody. You've got an opportunity to go deeper. You've got an opportunity to go there. And when you go there, who knows? Your words may be somebody else's lifeline to be connected to God and to connect to others. People could really use some good news right now. Wouldn't you agree? And you know what I think? I think you could be the one to give it to them. I want to pray for you in this regard. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? Lord, I pray that those who listen might really be convicted of their power and their ability to share the good news with others. And I pray that you might help them think of the person right now in this time of prayer that they're supposed to reach out to. Not to convince them, not to flood them with information, but to encourage, to pray for that other person, to share a loving act. But I pray that they would yoke a loving act with a word about why you are important to us. And I just trust, Lord, that they are people you've created with good minds and good hearts, and you will help them do that in the moment. And this I pray in Christ's name. Amen. And now I hope you'll think about who is it that you're called to possibly reach out to today or this week.